And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eat teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
Early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with sets and things flapping.
We are going to rip out the hearts of other podcasts. We are going to bite off their eyeballs. We are going to start every segment watching the scene from The Last of the Mohicans where the guy takes a bite out of the other guy's heart. We may not be good, but we're going to be nasty. We're going to reflect the blue-collar nature of this city.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a post-game pod, Birds with Friends, Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, Marissa Morris, here live on YouTube and in your ears the next day as we recap the Eagles' sloppy, ugly, and in some ways beautiful 21-18 come-from-behind victory over the Carolina Panthers, saving the season, Zach. 2-3 for the Eagles now. Everybody's happy. How you doing? Are you excited for the pod?
Doing well, excited for the pod. Have been waiting anxiously for this. And we have much to discuss. The last time that's not true. The last time we did a hotel pod after a 1 p.m. game was the last Eagles win. So we're kind of right in the wheelhouse now. This reminds me of the Atlanta game.
Fair enough. I think that's fair. We have decided to keep our shirts on.
Was that or not? Like, I
think it's always an option.
That's standard operating procedure, right?
Just saying, like, maybe the shirtless Eagles fan who ran onto the field turned the tide around. I mean, the Eagles won the game handily once he did that. It was kind of weird. He ran onto the field and just had no plan at all. It was, I think, as I said on Twitter, very similar to the Eagles' offensive game plan.
I was adjusting my microphone. Can you just repeat that?
You sound much better now. You sound much clearer.
I was going through the crowds before.
To make this joke again, Zach, I was saying that the man who ran onto the field shirtless had no game plan, just like the Eagles.
Well, I think they both had a game plan, but the game plan probably deteriorated around the same spot on the field, right? The shirtless man, he ran out there and then he just sat down right in front of Matt Rhule. I'm not going to repeat the joke that I put out there.
He did. You know what he did is he was trying. I think what happened is he was sent from the future, this guy. He knew how this game was going to go. And this was his way of trying to tell Miles Sanders, don't run out of bounds, you moron. When you get near the sideline, sit down and stay in bounds and don't do anything else. Miles Sanders didn't do it twice.
You know, I will say this. I am clearly not good at super sorecasting, right? We've established that. But if we did a super sorecasting for predictions for what Bo would say on the post-game pod, I would dominate that because I figured that the Eagles, having won 21-18, a big win, breaking a three-game losing streak. They have Tampa on a short week coming up. I figured Bo would mention Miles Sanders running out of bounds before he mentions the comeback that led to it.
Well, I mean, this is like I feel like I didn't mention it soon enough. It was insane.
When it was happening, you were irate.
Yeah, like I should have been. He should have been pulled from the game. He should be benched. That was inexcusable. He did it twice.
Well, so I don't.
He's the grouse. He's the grouse for this game.
I don't believe this is the reason for it. But the joke that I made to you was that he knows he runs so seldom that this
sure
is his opportunity.
Carries.
Yeah, he wanted to get the stats. So this was his opportunity to do so.
Oh,
it's kind of like in Madden, you know, where you want to get the stats. So even when you have the win, you know, you're calling the timeout or you're running out of bounds.
Right off the bat, I mean, he's the Oscar the Grouse garbage player of the game. That was terrible to go with 5 catches for 6 yards. Like, I don't think he shouldn't be in that role anymore. When they're running out the game, it should be Kenny Gainwell.
Well, I imagine
it's his third year in the league. What's he doing?
Yeah, it was relatively absent-minded. Nonetheless,
this is worse than the Derek Barnett stuff that you get on him for. This is dumb stuff.
Well, I disagree. They won the game. So,
well, yeah, but
the Derek Barnett situations, they lost the game. You play to win the game.
So whatever you do in a win doesn't matter? It matters less than what you do in a loss?
What's the joke? You know, when you win, everything tastes better, everything sounds better. I would have to pull up the quote, but yeah, you can rationalize much in a win.
I don't think that's fair.
It's a learning experience in a win. In a loss, it's like the end of time, right? So that's the.
I think this is worse than the Barnett thing. Barnett's just like playing football. This guy's not paying attention to what's going on.
Barnett's playing football. First off. Okay, well, this isn't even first off. This is like second off. The Barnett thing. I mean, we don't have to relitigate the Barnett thing. But for you, like Mr. Health and Safety over there, Derek Barnett goes running into someone after the play, and you absolve it. This just
he's a
Miles Sanders
guy.
Runs
he's,
out of
a defensive
Miles
player.
Miles Sanders runs out of bounds, essentially preserving his career.
Oh, please, he could have slid. He could have slid.
Nonetheless, it was foolish of him, but the Eagles won. We should discuss the win.
Trade him now.
I thought the defense played outstanding today.
Okay. Well, we can talk about the game. Here's the thing. I mean, this game was awful, right? It was so ugly for the first three quarters, basically, at least 2.5 quarters. I mean, the Eagles on offense was disgusting. They had, I think, 5 first downs in their first 10 drives, and 3 of those came on that end of the first half 2-minute drill. So, like, that was not really the game plan.
Exactly. That tweet you had.
The game planned, like, offense, 2 first downs in the first 9 drives, and it was so bad. And, you know, it was, like, so many screens, so many short passes against a very fast defense. And Devontae Smith was asked about it after the game. He said they were expecting a lot of cover zero, so they thought that they could get the ball out quickly, maybe get a block in man-to-man and spring a big play. You know, there were no adjustments. It was not working at all. And, like, we're thinking the season's over, basically. Like, I'm preparing to write, like sell all these guys day after. Like, here's who they should trade. And fortunately enough, they were able to hang in the game long enough for the other team to make more mistakes than they did, mostly because of the defense. But, like, we can get to sort of the intangible, like, fight and perseverance that they showed in this game, you know, being able to come back and pull this game out. And Jalen Hurts made some very nice plays in the fourth quarter. But, like, 10,000-foot view, I feel worse about Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni after this game than I did going in.
So they won this game the way that I frankly expected them to win games this year. I thought the games they would win would be ugly type wins. I didn't think they would have this high powered offense. I figured it would be games that are close, that the defense carries them, the offense comes through with a few timely plays. So the fact that it took them until week 5 to win this type of game is a relative surprise, right? Like the way they've played against Atlanta, the way they played against Kansas City, that was more surprising to me. But you are right. Like the way they played in that first half was very discouraging. The game plan, I am not a run the ball guy, but I figured if there was a week,
Nick Sirianni is turning me into a run the ball guy.
If there was a, we all saw what Dallas did to them last week. We all know what the strengths of this Panthers defense is. I figured this would be a week when they ran the ball. And I don't want to say the only conclusion I could come up with, but it makes me wonder when watching their game plan early in the game, if they like Miles Sanders when he has the ball in his hands, but they don't trust his vision. So they feel like the way to incorporate him
or his head
is to throw these, you know, short screen passes and try to get him in space that way. So he doesn't have to make it, because I don't understand the plan to throw all those short screens early in the game. It clearly was not working. I don't think they needed to run the ball, you know, 30 times or whatever it may be. I was surprised by the game plan tonight. Like I figured, you know, for instance, not to get ahead of ourselves, but Thursday is a week when I would expect them to throw the ball like crazy. You know, the Bucs are down players in the secondary, and I know the Panthers are down players in the secondary too. I just thought that when you look at Carolina's defense, they would run the ball more than they did. And they were just playing from behind the sticks. We don't have to get – I mean, they took points off the board with a penalty again. It was – for three quarters, it was just a poor offensive performance.
Let's see. Miles Sanders, 11 carries for 45 yards in this game. Kenny Gainwell, 2 carries for 16 yards. And you know, I think about half of those came in the fourth quarter. Now, to be fair, they didn't have a lot of plays in those first 10 drives because they kept going three and out or turning the ball over. But – you know, it's not even run the ball on this. I mean, I think that's part of it. But like doing the same thing, these short passes, these short screens that had no effect. And now, to be fair, Jalen Hurts also missed a bunch of throws in the first three quarters.
Yes,
guys that were open. Some of them he missed like wildly, and then some of them he missed just by enough to make it matter. And like, you know, it's never going to be linear, right? It's never going to be Jalen Hurts is getting a little bit better every week. You know, there are going to be these spikes. And I thought that he was bad in this game until the very end. But the defense kept him in it, like you said. And this is like we were talking about how last week, okay, you went up against a terrible defense and a great offense. We'll find out a little bit more this week. And so they went up against a better defense and a worse offense. And guess what? The offense took a step back and the defense took a step forward. So obviously that all makes sense. Darius Slay, we should talk about him, obviously. He's coming off the baby earlier this week. I think he's going to...
Well, his wife's coming off the baby. Let's make that...
Well, I didn't say he had the baby. I said he's coming off the baby. And I would imagine that he's yes, going to see yes. if she's willing to give birth every week now. Because if he's going to play like that, it might be worth it.
I mean, I don't know how
speak that for yourself. Possible.
Well, I mean, imagine if he has like a like 30 interception season, he's going to get paid. But yeah, I mean, that's a lot to go through. So yeah, two huge interceptions. They turn the ball over on defense. I think a lot of this is like Sam Darnold is showing up to be the garbanzo beans quarterback he is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so look, I mean, I wrote about the defense, so I hope everyone checks that out on The Athletic.
Did a good job.
Thank you. I wasn't trying to like play down the way the defense played against Kansas City. I recognize it was a bad performance, but I was saying the other night that the way they played in those first two games cannot be discounted. That they played against a really good quarterback. They played against the Cowboys and the Chiefs going into this week were two of the top three teams in DVOA. Now playing the Eagles obviously helps that, right? But those are teams that tend to do it. And the way the Eagles played against San Francisco and Atlanta also shows who they are. And so now in three of five games this year, the Eagles have allowed three total touchdowns. The Eagles are going to do this against mediocre quarterbacks or against bad quarterbacks or against bad offensive lines. That has a lot to do with it too. And then they're going to play. There are going to be games against really good offenses. Like, I expect this to happen Thursday. It could happen when they play against the Chargers, where the defense is going to look really bad. And
it's going to be fun. I'm excited to watch Herbert.
And so I wasn't one of these people who was saying, like, Jonathan Gannon has no clue what he's doing. And, like, you know, the Eagles made a mistake at defensive coordinator. It's premature to make that type of determination one way or the other. I just thought that there was a lot of overreaction to the way they played against the Chiefs. And not that they're going to play like this every week, but you're not going to see Patrick Mahomes every week. And you're going to see more quarterbacks. When you look at the rest of the schedule, the quarterbacks are closer to Darnold than they are to Mahomes.
Do they have square faces also?
I mean, Darnold, you know, let's judge him for how he is as a quarterback. We don't need to judge him for the shape of his face.
Let's look at the schedule real quick and talk about some face shape. You know what I mean?
So, Marissa, how about you and I do the podcast?
Brady, sort of shrinking face. You know, obviously his face looks much different than it used to. We can debate whether that has to do with HGH or some other kind of drug that
that's the TB12 method. I mean, Brady.
Guerrero method. Derek Carr, I would say roundish face. Jared Goff,
we doing this?
Goober face. Justin Herbert, handsome. Teddy Bridgewater, circular face, I would say. Jameis Winston. I can't really picture his face. Daniel Jones, Melvin face for sure. Zach Wilson, scrunchy face. Bye. What is Taylor Heineke's face looking like these days?
I don't know. Let's just get to that. Let's get to the game.
I'm very excited for Shield to listen back to this part right here.
He's not going to make it. Okay. What else do you want to talk about?
Wait, so a few things here with the defense, okay? Darius Slay, like you mentioned, big. I thought the first interception was just an outstanding play. He asked, or you asked him after the game, if this was the best game he played with the Eagles. I think decidedly so. Like, he did not confess to that.
I mean, this is what he was brought here to do. He followed DJ Moore the whole game. DJ Moore had his worst game of the season, and he had two interceptions. Moore averaged, he changed the game.
DJ Moore, fellow Terp, to Marissa, fellow.
Not a good weekend for Maryland. Not a good weekend.
Taylor Heineke, January 6th base, by the way. That's.
Oh, my.
All right. Well,
DJ Moore.
Yeah, so DJ Moore averaged 99.5 yards per game the first four games of the season. Was under 50 yards today, I believe.
Yeah.
Darius Slay followed him around. So that is one adjustment that the defense made. The defense, credit to Bo for looking up the stat. The defense blitzed more today. They blitzed 10 times today. If you go based on five-man rushes, 14 times in the first four games of the season. So there were variations. You know, this wasn't just executing the scheme that they had better. You know, they did make adjustments, but I really look at the defensive line, and what jumped out to me overall today was the best players on defense played well. You know, we addressed Slay. Fletcher Cox had his best game of the season, had a sack, two quarterback hits, a tackle for a loss, right?
And that quarterback hit on the deep throw to Robbie Anderson might have been his most impactful play of the game, because that affected the throw, and Maddox is able to break it up.
Yep. Javon Hargrave, another sack, six on the season now. Josh Sweat, a sack. Derek Barnett had two quarterback hits. So their defensive line was getting to the quarterback.
Good for you. Good for you for acknowledging.
Steven Nelson, Steve Nelson's not one of their
huge best
players, but he's an important player, made a huge play. So they're
and Ryan Kerrigan made a tackle.
The guys that need to step up, stepped up. He did it. He's
part of the press box.
In the press box to give people insight. Okay. This was like
this is true.
This was just like a you know, run of the mill play at the end of the first half, right? They were going, is that what it was? And and Bo like lets out like, whoa, it happened, like that kind of thing. And people turn around, like, what just happened, right? Because it was like a negative 1 yard run, and
so he had no choice but to make the tackle. Yeah. It was like almost accidental.
If there was a Bo cam, like PhiladelphiaEagles.com does the Merrill cam, that would make it.
Yeah, I think the things that would have made it for this game are that and the Miles Sanders running out of
Bo is. I'm gonna pump up Bo here. Bo is an outstanding game watcher. Like, observes things throughout the game. He really knows how to watch a game in real time. No, a lot of, like, if you would be great to cover as the head coach because you see so much in real time, you don't have to go
what
back.
What are you gassing me up for here? I watch it any differently than you.
I'm curious, what are you guys writing down during the game to really show people, like?
Bo's charting like 40 things. Not just is he doing, you know, because we're all jotting down what's going on in the game. But Bo is charting personnel groupings. He's charting player-specific things. Like, he's,
I mean, that's because I'm not writing. You have to write something for the gun.
Yeah, it's a really impressive 3-hour performance by Bo.
This is first of all, Shield's gonna vomit if he makes it this far. This is like not.
I think he stopped after the faces conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
so
he's charting faces. Comment in the chat.
So let's see. So what else with the defense?
They kept him in the game, right? Like
the drive that was the biggest drive of the game is forcing the 3-and-out after the Eagles don't get the first down. When Hurts and Ertz don't when they don't connect on that fourth down, and then the Eagles force a quick 3-and-out.
I hated that play calling sequence. They're moving the ball. They're moving the ball on 11 personnel, and then they get to 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4. They bring on the freaking 13 personnel package. Nothing, like a dead play. They keep two tight ends on the field. Another dead play, and then they go for it on fourth down. Actually, I forgot to mention that they went for it on fourth down the day after. I gotta see if I can add that.
And then the block punt. And so that's
huge.
There,
what a huge play.
Right, because if Carolina just gets a first down there, I don't know if the Eagles win the game.
Yeah, and Jannard Avery's showing up, played a season high, and played over 50% of the snaps, and makes a huge play there. I mean, easily his biggest play as an Eagle.
So I usually wait until the next morning for the NFL's official stats, but I saw, you know, you got the stats up from was that True Media?
True Media.
Yeah, and well, we can get to it when we discuss the offense, but. Quez Watkins
out snapping Jalen Reagor, finally
out snapping Jalen Reagor. That jumped out to me. We'll get to that when we discuss the offense. But no, I mean, we should spend a minute or two on Sean Bradley on the TJ Edwards block punt because
and another thing that made me upset actually,
Sean Bradley jumping on the ball,
pick it up and go. There's no downside.
Yeah, you're right. Well, the downside is if they pick it up and they run for the first down.
You're not going to pick it up and run for the first down that far
deep. Or if the punter picks it up and punts it, as we saw the other night.
Scoop it up and go, my man.
Yeah. But no, I agree. He should have scooped it up and went. I think he tweeted something out about it.
He said it took a weird bounce. Yeah.
Yeah, it took a weird bounce.
But
so
that's no excuse.
No excuse. Just,
and then pick it up.
Yeah.
So anyway, give me what you were going to say about TJ Edwards.
No, I want to hear because the elevator, you know, I'm not doing a report or a complaint here. We are very fortunate to be at these games and frankly, our seats are outstanding in Carolina. My one gripe is that the elevator situation was real difficult, and there's no staircase down to the. They said I could take a staircase to the main floor, but then I would take an elevator down to the locker room. And so, anyway, so
I got to tell you, elevator trouble has been the theme of my weekend here in Charlotte, here in my hotel. Just an awful elevator situation. It's part of this epicenter, like mall thing here in Charlotte. And there's only four bays or four, you know, elevators. And it's like, there's two hotels here. People are getting off and on. It's a bad system. And it's just been a disaster the whole time. I mean, you want to talk about first world problems, but it's been really just a total disaster.
So the reason that I mentioned the elevator situation was I didn't get down there for TJ Edwards.
I didn't
so,
get down there for him either.
Oh, okay. All right. So then we can't explain what TJ Edwards said. But
I thought maybe you rewatched it.
Not yet. Not yet. I will. And yeah, so, but huge block punt by TJ Edwards.
In that enormous. Situation. Biggest play of the season.
Up there.
Well, I mean, Kerrigan's tackle, obviously. But it was huge. I mean, yeah, they're down 2 points at that point. They're still, you know, there's no reason to believe that they're going to be able to move the ball necessarily. And so that, I mean, totally changed the game. What did you think of the Panthers' fake field goal punt from the 40 into the end zone? That set up the Eagles' first touchdown. That's what are we doing?
Did not like it. Would have just attempted the field goal, or what was it? Was fourth and what? It was fourth and what in that situation?
I want to say fourth and seven.
All right, so a little far for
it was a little far to go. Yeah, but if you're going to do it, don't kick it in the end zone, my guy.
Yeah. Well, they had their kicker kick the or they had their kicker punt it.
Did they? I thought the holder stood up. No, it was the kicker. That makes more sense. Okay.
Yeah, because on the box score, it was Zane Gonzalez punting that.
Got it. Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. ZG, you like a ZG?
I like any Z's.
Well, now I'm gonna have to think of a Z that's gonna make you look bad for liking him.
Let's Zoe focus Deschanel. On the pod. So.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about the offense sort of turning things around in that fourth quarter. You know, Jalen Hurts, that first half, end of the first half, he misses Quez Watkins deep. And I think that's an understandable miss, right? The whole point of that play is to look for something quick. If the quick thing's not there, you throw it out of bounds. Like, he's not even really supposed to even necessarily look at Quez Watkins, but he's wide open, completely forgotten about by the defense, and Jalen Hurts sees that and puts his hands on his head like, oh, I can't believe we missed that. It would have been a touchdown. Well, later in the game, he has an opportunity to hit Jalen Hurts, third and 10, and it's a huge play. A 53-yarder sets up the touchdown, and it seemed like from there they were able to move the ball. You know, then they start incorporating Jalen Hurts as a runner on the next possession. They get stopped on fourth down. They get the punt. He hits Dallas Goedert down the middle of the field to set up the second touchdown and a really awesome play on the two-point conversion when he avoids the rush and then finds Devontae Smith in the back of the end zone. And it's like, you know, this is what I was talking about before, like the intangible ephemeral stuff of like, you know, the guy's a gamer. He's got a little something to him. The guys on the team gravitate towards him. They, you know, the steady hand that he has, he never gets too high, never gets too low. I always think that stuff is a little bit overstated, but you know, it played out at least in his favor in this game. And you want a guy who can forget about having a terrible first three quarters and can make some plays at the end of the game. So I still think overall this was not a good Jalen Hurts performance, but it was nice to see him be able to take advantage of those things.
Yes, all of the above I agree with. Not a very good Jalen Hurts performance, a bad Jalen Hurts performance. But credit to him for the fourth quarter making plays when they mattered, right? You know, I was listening on my walk to the stadium. I was listening to a JJ Redick podcast, and he was saying how Flex? Yeah, JJ Redick is an incredible podcast host. And yeah, he was discussing how
it's not who you want. Who you want to be the one to find you when you're being human trafficked.
He was discussing how he went after a bad shooting night, he would just tell himself 8 for 12, right? The next night he was going 8 for 12, and it was the way he thought. And I was thinking about that when I was watching Jalen Hurts today, because I feel like every time Jalen Hurts goes out there for a drive, like he thinks he's making a play on that drive. He is, he comes off to us very confident. And I believe he's like that behind the scenes too. You heard him, or you hear teammates talk about him. Jordan Mailata, he had a great quote. He said, he's all bite, no bark.
Yeah.
Which is a compliment, I would think. And I was really impressed with the way Hurts. I was not impressed with Hurts' game. I thought Hurts was bad early on, but I was very impressed with this fourth quarter, very impressed with some of the clutch plays that he made, put the offense on his back late. Like that he ran the ball some there. That's what they should be doing.
It bothers me that it's not a bigger part of the offense.
Agreed. They need to lean into it more. But yeah, credit to Jalen Hurts for the way he finished that game. And you mentioned the thing at the end of halftime. That was a good Bo Wolf observation. Two, you asked the question. Three, Jalen Hurts, I would think in the past, and we don't have a large sample size here. This is only his fifth game starting this season. But in the past, if you ask him about something like that, he just dismisses the question. He had like a substantive answer today. So perhaps this is the maturation of the Wolf-Hurts relationship.
Perhaps. Zach, I got to tell you, I'm looking here, quickly pulled up a list of serial killers on Wikipedia. Not a lot of Z's. You're right.
Bo, your Google search history would scare me.
Zdzislaw Marchewski, who killed between 14 and over 21, perhaps, people in Poland in the 60s. Looks like that's a guy who you shouldn't be too proud of. But otherwise, you're doing pretty well with the Z's.
So someone steals Bo Wolf's computer right now, and they see shape of quarterback's faces.
Oh, good point. Good point from
serial killers.
The Zodiac Killer is on your blood is on your hands.
That's not a name. That is not a name. And Owen was the one who I believe messed me up.
He was. Yes.
Forecasting. Yeah. He's the one who had me to exhaust my turkey.
Right.
So,
he must have messed up Patrick Mahomes too, because I don't know, since then, right? Yeah. Since that game, Patrick Mahomes hasn't been himself either.
I don't have the game on right now. What's going on? I turned it off because the TV is right behind me. So
me too. I was just reading the chat.
Gotcha. Okay.
Chat.
But yes, yeah, so we were saying with Jalen Hurts, impressive fourth quarter from him, something to build on. For sure. Actually, this is a good time for us to go to the ads.
Yes, perfect.
Good point.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, back on Birds with Friends, and it pains me a little bit to do this, but we need to go over Swooper Sorecasting. And Zach, of course, you had two predictions in this one. Now, I didn't watch all of the broadcast. I was listening to a little bit of it, but I feel like if these things had hit, we would have heard about it on Twitter. You had the Jersey Shore is mentioned in the broadcast. Doesn't sound like that hit. And Miles Sanders is the leading rusher in the game for both teams. That did not turn out to be the case.
He needed him to get out of bounds a few more times.
Yeah, he did. Like 18 more times. Chuba Hubbard leading the way with
he was on the right. He was on the way to doing so.
What a quiet 100-yard rushing game for Chuba Hubbard, wouldn't you say?
No, it was happening right in front of my eyes. I saw him accumulate all 100 of those yards.
All right, I guess you're watching better than I am. I had J.J. Arcega-Whiteside catches a pass. Didn't happen. He was on the field for 3 snaps, and they were probably all screens. Good tendency breaking, guys. Sam Darnold or the Panthers offense puts up 40 or more points. The broadcast mentions DJ Moore's high school. Doesn't sound like that happened. Jalen Hurts has more rushing touchdowns than Sam Darnold. That did happen. So that's one for me. And Josh Sweat and Derek Barnett have more sacks than Brian Burns and Hassan Reddick. It was trending my way in the beginning, but then Hassan Reddick had those back-to-back sacks. So I did not get that. And then, of course, really the main event that everybody was paying attention to for this game, a pylon gets knocked over and disappointingly, unfortunately,
that's
didn't happen.
So random.
Oh man, if that shirtless guy had knocked over the pylon, oh my gosh, could you imagine?
He definitely would have been a hired ringer.
Miles Sanders couldn't have done that when he was running out of bounds. He couldn't have just trolleyed down the end of the sideline and kicked it over. Brutal.
It would just crack me up if there was a minion that ran onto the field, knocked over a pylon. He's getting arrested, but he says, "I did it for Swoop and Circle."
Can you believe?
We did have a suggestion from the chat to spice up Swooper Swordcasting.
I'm all for it.
That Zach, because you know he knows what Bo's going to start the show with, some intricate thing of the game. If Zach submits to me before the show starts, he gets an extra point in Swooper. So if Bo goes on
the
team,
is a lot. I would give him a half a point.
It's just a thought, you know.
But he's got to get. He has to bid turkeys on it. He's got all these turkeys left over. I think that's fair. I will allow that, actually.
I want to play by the same rules as everybody else.
I think that's okay. If Sheila's okay with it, I will allow that you can use some of your leftover turkeys to submit to Marissa before the post-game pod what I'm going to start with. You can bid. It's a blind bid. You can bid whatever you want. I think that's fair.
Nah, and Bo can't, you have to start it with something game related. It can't just be
I can't promise that.
Or else you're just going to start every show with
earned, not given, right? I want to earn my victories here. So I want to earn it through sound, sound savings, number one, but then shrewd decision making, number two. So okay. I'm going to do it that way. But I appreciate the thought, but I am happy to send Marissa for our own edification, three things I expect Bo is going to hit that before we discuss anything relevant in the game, right? Like the Eagles could upset the Bucks on Thursday night, but Tom Brady didn't do something that
didn't shake someone's hand.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Bo.
I mean, the first 10 minutes. There's not a chance in hell that if the Bucks lose on Thursday night, that Tom Brady is going to shake Jalen Hurts' hand. It will never happen.
Come on,
yeah, that's true.
Sounds like that will definitely not happen. Wait, when are we doing Swooper Swordcasting? Tuesday?
Tuesday. Double supersized show this week on Tuesday. Tuesday night we do both things. I gotta finish this Swooper Swordcasting, by the way. Shiel, the broadcast specifically says the exact number of Panthers players who played for Temple. Don't think that happened. There's a penalty on somebody in the game for running out of bounds and touching the ball first. Didn't happen. Fletcher Cox has at least one sack. That did happen. And then Jonathan Gannon dials up more than 4 blitzes in the game. As long as True Media is correct, it sounds like he hit that, and Shu will extend his lead, nauseatingly so.
Good work by Shu. That's why he's a senior writer, or the senior NFL writer.
That's right. So that is why. That's, I believe it's on his resume.
I was listening back to the pod. That was such a flex by Shu there.
When?
On the other day when he
I'm not a senior writer for nothing or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was
okay. Speaking of the minions, shout out to the minions who came up and said hi at Resident Culture.
Flex.
Always good to see the listeners. Had some good conversations. And if you're ever in the Charlotte area, hit up Resident Culture.
So I would do a little flex as well. I was, well, Well, first off, I was out with high school friends.
Big Tom flex. Evelyn, Mr. Popular over here. No,
who are big friends, who are big fans of Bo and Marissa and Shiel. So but what I was gonna say is I went Thursday night to see John Mulaney. And
another big
I'm waiting outside in line, and I'm standing there with my brother, and someone just walks by and says, "ZB and the Wolf."
Really? You didn't tell me that?
Yes, I had to tell you. And my brother was looking at me like, what is going on
here? That's great.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. You know, my father-in-law, was saying nice things about the ZB and the Wolf thing, and I appreciate it. But it's like, you know, I work really hard on these columns that we write and whatnot. Like, you know, we're getting this attention for this parody that we do of sports talk radio. So anyways, it's besides.
If you point. See Zach in public, please do the same thing. Just yell ZB at the Wolf at him.
That's and I hope someone does it in front of your kids. So they're like, "Daddy, what's ZB and the Wolf?"
I'm like, I don't even know sometimes. It would just be funny if we're standing in line and they do that wolf call that you do.
That would be good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So. I like that. All right. What do we need to talk about?
What about so a few things here that I would like to discuss. So should we finish with the offense or get to some decision making?
Why don't we finish with the offense?
Okay. Quez Watkins. We mentioned the snap distribution, but Quez is becoming a key player here. It is the amount of downfield plays that he makes now. It's week five.
It should only be growing. His role exactly. should only be growing, and Jalen Reagor's role should only be diminishing.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's not even close. Who is more important?
Jordan Mailata.
He's a better player.
I agree. And the offense changes with him on the field.
100%.
While we're on the topic of wide receivers, egregious. Another touchdown off the
play. Unbelievable.
What was the stat you had about the wide receiver penalties?
They have the most wide receiver penalties in the league. They have five penalties on wide receivers this year, which is
their
the
head
most
coach is a wide receiver coach. Right. They have continuity at wide receivers coach. They have like, you know, a few other former wide receivers coaches on staff, right? Petula is a former wide receiver. Like
they are all about the fundamentals, you know, mastering the things that require no talent, like the specifics of everything. And at that position, and they're blowing it all over the place.
But like for back-to-back weeks, to get a touchdown off the board with the same
five touchdowns this season have come off the board.
But they're all different variety. But I'm saying, but like the pick play on fourth down on back-to-back weeks, you're not coaching it correctly then, right? Like you can't say the refs are looking out for it. Don't give them – and in looking back, it was unnecessary, right? Like it wasn't –
he had won. Devontae Smith had won his route, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So the penalties are – it kind of got lost in the shuffle because the Eagles did win this game. It is a major problem. It is egregious that fifth touchdown of the season
I don't need Greg Ward on the field in the red zone. He's always on the field in these red zone packages. Like,
yeah, they discussed that this past
can't
week.
We just, why like, yeah. Can't we just – and enough with the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside plays. I know it's only three plays, but, like, just leave – Quez and Devontae Smith out there, rotate your tight ends. And I got to tell you, like, the tight end rotation thing, just judging by body language as I, like, watch those guys shuffle back and forth, I really feel like Dallas Goedert is, like, I mean, it's exactly what we expected, but it's, like, get me out of here. Like, can I just get on the field and play, please, and get in a rhythm? Like, they keep having a ping pong back and forth. He must hate it.
And Zach, too, all right? Like, it doesn't make sense for either of them. And it's funny because early in the year, we're only five games into the season. They were at least like feigning interest in playing 12 personnel. And now they've almost I know they have some of it, but they've almost abandoned it, right? And so it's either one much. Or yeah, it's either one or the other on the field. So essentially, you're splitting time with these two tight ends. It makes no sense.
They're both whatsoever. Must be miserable.
Yes,
I think that Goddard is probably more miserable.
Yeah, so I thought
this was going to be his year.
I saw Here's Max Williams. Sorry, I saw Max Williams got injured in Arizona. Is that right? So, see what Arizona's willing to give you.
Well, here's my question, Zach. What would you be willing to entertain a more significant package to trade Dallas Goedert instead?
What's the package, right?
I don't know. Would you take Hurst went for a second round pick, right?
Yes.
Goddard's going to be a free agent. Would you take a third round pick, it's hard to say because a bad team's not going to trade for him. So would you take a third round pick and a sixth round pick for Dallas Goedert?
I would if you believe, like if internally they believe that Tyree Jackson has starter upside.
I forgot about Tyree. Look at you.
And he'll be back this year. But like if they think legitimately this isn't just a piece, but like a depth piece. If they think Tyree Jackson could be could be Logan Thomas, then yeah, I would entertain it. I mean,
how about a second for Goddard and Sanders? A second for a pair of old.
I would still keep Goddard long term, but if they haven't signed him yet, right? I don't know what that. I can't imagine he's going to enjoy being in Philadelphia any more in like 2 months than he is now, right? So right. It's just a weird situation.
It's really weird.
But I would see what Arizona's. I mean, Arizona's one of the best teams in the NFL. If they just lost their starting tight end, it's worth exploring. And again, if I don't have the comments in front of me here, let me pull that up, but. If I'm wrong about Max Williams, please let me know. I've been working today. I saw that on Twitter while I was writing.
Gotcha. All right. We got one more break to take, and then we can come back and close this bad boy out, talk about some of the decisions that Nicky Sirianni made.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, back on Birds with Friends. Zach, by the way, what did you make of, I know we don't know what to say here, but the Nick Sirianni Lane Johnson 65 sticker on his visor joining the ones he had for Brandon Graham and Isaac Seumalo, the guys who were out for the season. I don't know.
Well, we know why he uses the why he does the stickers. It's something,
but it's only for guys who are out for the year.
Yeah,
like Brandon Brooks isn't on there.
He's done in the past. It was interesting. And again, we're waiting to find out more here, or we'll learn more here as we go on Lane Johnson's situation. But it was it definitely jumped out. I'm sorry that I asked a question when you were asking a question to Nick. That's there okay. At the end. Yeah, but I imagine it'll come up tomorrow when we speak to Nick. In a few different ways, whether it's the visor, whether it's Lane's status. So curious to hear what he has to say.
Okay, that's fair. We talked about Quez before we get to Sirianni. We didn't spend much time on Devontae Smith, who had another good game. Seven catches for 77 yards. He also had a fumble.
And a fumble, exactly.
Right. Yeah. So he's had a couple of mistakes over the past couple of weeks. But I think it's sort of I see you got the life water there, Zach. Is that your airport move?
No, it's not. The hotel, this is what they had.
Oh, so nice. I see. I like, when you do the airport, you're on a business trip, you can expense a bottle of water. I don't really want to buy like a $6 bottle of water myself, but you can get one on the company dime. That's a good deal. You gotta stay hydrated.
That you do have to stay hydrated. Yes.
I think it's pretty clear that Devontae Smith is the real deal. Most receiving yards for an Eagles rookie in the first five games, second to DeSean Jackson. He's good, man. He's smooth.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I agree with you.
It's okay.
I'm so impressed with Devontae during these past few weeks. And I frankly think as they keep feeding him the ball, the numbers will only go up. I mean, I've been really impressed with him.
Okay. All right. What are the Sirianni decisions that you'd like to unpack?
So the 2-point conversion, or lack thereof, rather. They score the touchdown, the first touchdown that they score, and there is an offsides on the extra point. So Sirianni has the option to go for the 2-point conversion from the 1-yard line there. And if they make it, it becomes...
Which he did in Atlanta.
Yes. If they make it, it becomes a 2-point game. If he misses it, it's a 4-point game.
No. It was different. It was already a 3. For 2 and got it, it would have been a 1-point game. If they kicked the field goal, it would have been a 2-point game.
Yes. And so he decides to keep the points on the board and enforce it or not keep the points on the board, but keep the extra point there and make it a 2-point game. And I was okay with the yards on the kickoff. Well, the issue I have is first off, it's not the same percentage as an extra point, but the hit rate is much better from the 1-yard line, obviously, than the 2.
Sure.
So your chances of converting go up. And then the second part is that if the Panthers scored a touchdown on the ensuing drive.
Right. You're still within a score.
You're still within one possession.
I should have looked into the math on this. This to me was not a no-brainer. I'm okay with going to 2 because there's a huge difference between 2 and 3. A field goal wins the game instead of ties the game. If that's what their margin remains. And I feel like the difference between 1 and 2 is maybe not worth the reward of the difference between 1 and 2 is maybe not worth the risk of the difference between 2 and 3.
I don't know the math on that one. I would have to look that up. But that
what I didn't like, and I said this to you, you take the penalty on the kickoff, which means you got a short kickoff, and then you just boot it through the back of the end zone. I hate that. Kick it high and short.
You would hide and short.
Kick it high and short. Pin him. Try to pin him deep. Take the advantage there.
I agree with you there.
So, and then otherwise, there weren't a ton of fourth down decisions in this game because the offense was so bad.
But I liked how quick he was on the fourth down, the touchdown that guy called
the
back.
But
there were no questions there, it seemed like.
No questions there. That was good. And then they went for it on fourth down in the fourth quarter, which they didn't get. Yeah.
after they stalled that drive, but that was right the right call. Decision too. Yeah, there weren't a ton of like difficult decisions. I mean, this was a bad Sirianni game, because the game plan was so bad, and the offense was so.
But ugly. I try to differentiate between Sirianni the play caller and Sirianni the game manager.
Right. So the game manager was fine in this game. The play caller, the offensive coordinator was bad. And then, you know, does the culture creator get some credit for the team, like hanging around and, you know, fighting back? I don't know. Did you like, was this game, is your lesson from this game that like this is a plucky team that, that has some fight in them? Or was it just that the Panthers are pretty bad?
I give them credit for the resiliency there, right? They kept at it.
I think so. It really was like all three phases like made mistakes. This was not a perfect game by any stretch, but like it is true that like this was a game in which all three phases contributed to the win.
I don't think the Panthers are a bad team, right? I give the Eagles credit for this win. I think this is a solid win for the Eagles. Now, Carolina was missing some key pieces, and I don't think they called a very good game there.
Yeah, but they turtled a little bit, it seemed like. They got a little conservative.
I want to read what Joe Person wrote. I know he wrote about the fourth quarter collapse.
Great name.
Great beat writer. But overall, I do give the Eagles credit. You know, I don't want to call it like an inspired comeback, but look, there was a period. It was an important game for them to win, not just because they were on this three-game losing streak, but also we all know who's coming in Thursday.
I think it would have been. Sorry, I'm not.
Yeah, if they lose, if they're 1-4, and then they lose the Tampa Bay, they go down to 1-5. This thing goes south pretty quickly.
Totally.
The way they turn that around, it changes your outlook a bit. If you're 2-4, but you just beat the Panthers, now you have 10 days to prepare for the Rams. It's a different situation. So I give them a lot of credit for the way they fought back to win that game.
Yeah. I mean, if you can just like over the course of 17 games, beat the bad teams, lose to the good teams, and like go .500 against the teams who are also mediocre, we got a chance to make the playoffs.
And there's a lot of like bad and mediocre teams on the back half of the schedule. Like I said on the previous podcast, I had the Eagles 1-5 to start the season. So the fact that they're 2-5.
The Eagles lose on Thursday, baby. That's another crystal ball Eagle.
Yeah. And a little home cooking to get you some.
Please. Yeah,
there's no reason that should be a 7-point.
Please.
Point thing. When he mentions Larry Karras, that should be Mount Union points. When he says my college coach.
Yeah, that's arguable. I think you're probably right. I think that counts.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it seems you have considerable sway with Dennis. So you should let him know.
Well, I don't know. Dennis is the man. Although I heard it, Dennis doesn't love Swooper Sorecasting, which shocks me.
He and I both.
Well, probably because it's so hard to keep track. It's like, but
he does enjoy Zach's descent into madness over the handling of his turkeys. All right. Have we touched on everything? Great play by Steven Nelson.
Great play by
Steven Nelson. Which we didn't talk about. Huge play.
Yep. We did talk about it, but it was a great play. I said Steven Nelson's not one of the great players.
Yeah, I know. But we didn't really give it its due time.
How is Zach still awake? I mean, it's not that late. It's 12:05, but
you've got some stuff to do.
I don't know where your hotel is relative to mine.
Pretty close.
There's a train track. Is there a train track by yours?
Yeah.
That train all hours of the night last night.
Oh, really? I haven't heard it at all.
Oh man, it was. Look, I mean, I'm not complaining here, but that thing was going. So I was up pretty early this morning, Took a nice walk in Charlotte. Great city. Really enjoy being in Charlotte. But yeah, I'm a little tired here. Okay. But I'm rallying. Look forward to the pod. No, if there's anything
look
else,
forward to the pod as we've got like seconds left.
Yeah.
Marissa, how was your weekend?
It was very nice. I'm in Baltimore for a college friend's wedding.
You guys are just friend flexing all over the place.
He's a Ravens fan, so I gave him a lot of crap for having a Sunday wedding. And of course, the Ravens play Monday this week.
Smart.
But it was beautiful, and I'm very happy for him and his new wife. So it's fun.
Everything went off without a hitch?
Yep. They got married. So
that's big. It's big time.
Hitched.
Yes. Yep.
There you go. All right, Zach, what do we set us up? What do we got coming up this week?
Yeah, so it's going to be a quick week here, obviously. We'll speak to Nick Sirianni on Monday, and then we'll speak to players Tuesday, Gannon Tuesday. We'll see what Wednesday holds. We'll have Birds with Friends, what, Tuesday night, regularly scheduled, 8 p.m., yes. And that will lead us into the Bucks game, and then Eagles-Bucks Thursday. And then the Eagles have a long weekend. So,
and I think we're going to do the quicker post-game pod on Thursday with Sheil and Marissa kicking things off until Zach and I can log on.
Yeah, so you can send in your questions and I will read them to Sheil until Bo and Zach race home safely from the game.
I will probably find a room as if we're
parking valets.
I'll probably find a room in the stadium and jump on pretty quick. Mm.
Yeah, not a bad idea. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. Thanks for listening. The Eagles pull one out in Charlotte to go to 2-3, stay alive, stay relevant, tied for second place in the division, in the wild card mix, ready for Tom Brady on Thursday night. Can they make him bereft on the turf? Can they find a way to shove some strawberries down his throat and really get him off his game? Well, he famously doesn't eat strawberries, Zach.
Is it for inflammation? Is that right?
I think that's right.
Whatever he's doing, it's working, man. I mean,
credit. Well, I mean, it's probably drugs, right?
No, it's superior. It's training, mental acuity. There's a lot of what he does well.
Big really premium stuff.
I'm eager to read Seth Wickersham's book, which comes out on Tuesday. And ooh, we'll learn more about Brady in that book.
Yeah, I mean, that the Wickersham, like the I tweeted this, but like the ESPN article that like sort of went through a bunch of the stuff that's in there, like, you know, that he's got like all the goods when like the Malcolm Butler mystery, which everybody had been trying to figure out for years, just gets solved as like the 28th thing in the article, like such a like minor aside, like, oh yeah, by the way, this is what happened with Malcolm Butler, and it's like a big flex. So
can't wait to read it.
It'll be good. All right, that'll do it. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Marissa and Sheil and Zach, I'm Bo. We'll talk to you on Tuesday night, and as always, we love you.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.